down.
Let's start down. My nephew came over last week, and this Shabbos.
The same one who I meet.
And
he's the only one who's.
Yeah, here. And we were talking about last week's parsha and the big day kahuna, and he asked me the following. He said, "You know, looking at the begadim," he said, "you know, it seems so like you look at the priest and his vestments and his like his whole getup." He says, "And it seems so archaic." Somebody looking at it would say, it seems so primitive. He has to wear this crazy uniform and offer these sacrifices. And how do you relate to that? And I said, my answer is, well, first of all, a lot of things in Jewish religion seem archaic in respect to modern sensibilities. That if you try to judge everything in religion based on modernity, you're not going to come out very well because, you know, everything is considered archaic and just the big day kahuna are just a small part of that. But his comment led me to think about something which appears in this week's parasha, a very short piece, which is even more archaic, which is a critical fundamental of the Jewish religion. Okay, as we all know, and I'll explain in a second. We're going to start on Perek, in the middle of Perek Lamed Aleph, Shemot Perek Lamed Aleph. I'm going to need that eventually. Okay. Yeah, since I opened it. We all know that Ki Tisa is the parasha of Chet HaEgel. And Chet HaEgel happens for a lot of different reasons. It happens because Jewish people are invested in Avodah Zarah, and it happens because they're trying to go back to what they know, and it happens because they were afraid they lost Moshe, and all those kinds of things. So, but the Torah, before we get to Chet HaEgel, is just an interesting sort of brick. Now, the parshiot of Truma and Tetzaveh are about building the Mishkan. Right, you build the Mishkan on this many cubits, and the Big Day Kehuna, etc., etc. Then Ki Tisa begins continuing with that theme. Ki Tisa Rosh Bnei Yisrael, and how much they have to give, etc., etc. So go to the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31. If you're all with me. But Eber Hashem HaMashalim. Or Hashem says to Moshe, saying, Re'eh. Karati b'shem Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chur lematei Yehuda. Right, I have assigned Bitzalel va'amaleh oto ruach Elokim b'chokhma v'tivuna v'da'at u'b'chol melacha. I filled him with the spirit of Hashem lachashov machshavot lasot b'zahav v'kesef v'nechoshet, to make calculations and to figure things out. Everybody see where I am? I'm on pasuk hey in Perek Lamed Aleph. Etc., etc., Pasuk Vav. I'm just going to brief this, which is an introduction. Va'ani, hini netati ito et ha'aliyah ba'nachisamach lema teidan, u'belev kochacham lev netati chachma ba'asu et kol asher tziviticha. They're really talented and artistic and smart and great guys, and they can do it all. And what are they going to make? Everything I commanded. Pasuk Zion, Yud Aleph Pasuk Zion, et ohel moed, et harun le'idut, et ha'kapor et asher alav, et kol klei ha'ohel. And they're going to make the Olam away and all the stuff inside of it. Veta Shulchan, Veta Keila, Veta Menorah, Veta Kol Keila, Veta Mizbach HaKetoret, Pasuk Tet, Veta Mizbach HaOlah, Veta Kol Keila. We're moving, we're going. They're going to make the Mishkan great. Everyone's, great. Ve'et Bigdei Asarad, Veta Bigdei HaKodesh Aharon HaKohen, Veta Bigdei Benav Lechahen. They're making the Begadim. And Yud Aleph, et Shemon Hamishcha, et Keteret Hasamim, the Kodesh Kechol Asher Tziviticha Yasu. And now, what should we see the next thing? What should the next pasuk be? Go. Except they don't. We're going to stop. What are we going to stop for in Ki Tisa? The tragic tale of Chet HaEgel. Great. What? Oh. Okay, meaning if you stop for Chet HaEgel, that's great. Except the next few psukim. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. This is where I want to pick up. Yud Gimel. Ve'ata. Daber el Bnei Yisrael lemor. Ach et shabshotai tishmoru. Ki oti b'ni uvenechem ledorotechem. Ach. What is ach? But. Except. What do you got there? Ach. Anybody?
However,
maybe. However. What? Okay, what is however doing here?
Because of the Mishkan.
What's that?
Because of the Mishkan.
Meaning?
Meaning everything about Shabbat is about Melachot, all about what's kashrut to the Mishkan.
Very good.
You're baking the Mishkan, except on Shabbat you're not.
Very good. Okay, fine. Absolutely correct. In fact, you know who says that?
Rashi.
Take a guess.
Rashi?
Yeah, very good. Rashi says that. Look at Rashi.
Rina.
Right?
I'm guessing.
Okay. Rashi says, look at Rashi on Ach et Shabtotai Tishmaru, Af Alfi, Shitihiyu Redufin, Vizrizu Tamalacha. You're like, I just riled you up. Yeah, we're going to build it. We're going to do it. Let's go. And of course, we've got a terrible schedule. We're going to be behind. There's no way we're going to come in on time. Sound familiar?
Sound familiar.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Although you're on time, aren't you?
So
Baruch Hashem. Okay. Shabbat al tidache mipaneha. Do not push off Shabbat. Why? Kol achin virakin miutin. Every ach. The word ach or rak. But is a mi'ut. Lema'it means to accept. It's an exception. So accept, you know, you should do, build, make.
Except
on Shabbat. Okay, lema'it Shabbat mimelechet ha-mishkan. Why? Ki ot hi beini u'beinechem ledorotechem. It is an ot between me and you. Forever, for your generations. Ladat ki ani Hashem mikad Yisrael. I am Hashem, your God. Your darling. Ushmartem et ha-shabbat. Ki kodesh hi lachem. You shall lishmor. Guard the Shabbat. Because it is holy for you. Mechaleleha mot yumat. If you violate the Shabbat, you shall surely die. Ki kol haoseh ba melacha. V'nichvata ha-nefesh ahi mikerev ameha. Anyone who does melacha. V'nichrita, what is v'nichrita? Great, right. So what kind of person, what kind of violation of Shabbat is this discussing? Is this describing? Well, it's describing one that's unseen. Private desecration. Because if it wasn't private,
they would stone you.
Right. Sheshet yamim ye'aseh melacha. 6 days, what is ye'aseh? You will do, not you will do. That's ya'aseh melacha. Or ta'aseh melacha. Ye'aseh, it will be done. Work will be done. Uvayom hashvi'i, Shabbat Shabbaton. Kodesh Hashem. There's a misunderstanding. People think that Shabbat Shabbaton is only Yom Kippur. No, it's not true. Shabbat is described as Shabbat Shabbaton.
I think some of the Yom Tovim are also.
No. Only Shabbat and Yom Kippur. Why? What's the connection between the two? Yom Tovim are described as Shabbat Lashem. Right? The difference is that Yom Tov is not completely forbidden in Melacha because you're allowed to do Melechet Ochal Nefesh, you're allowed to cook. But on Shabbat, you're not allowed to cook. Okay, so, and nor on Yom Kippur because there's nothing you're going to eat anyway. Okay, Kol HaOseh Melacha B'Yom HaShabbat, Mot Yumat. Anyone who performs Melacha on Shabbat, Mot Yumat.
Will surely die.
Will surely die. What does that mean? Will surely die? How will he surely die?
Nefesh.
What's that?
Nefesh.
No. We describe karet. So what's this one? What? Does Rashi say anything? I don't know. I don't know if Rashi says it. But Mot Yumat usually means skila. So on the one hand, if no one sees you, God says, I'll get you. And if I don't get you,
I'll get you.
Okay?
If no one sees you, it's even... Karet is a worse punishment than skila. Even. It's
yes.
It's just Hashem killing, separating your soul from your body, so it's even worse.
Yes, it's bad. I mean,
like the worst.
The trick about karet is that nobody really knows what it is.
According
but it's one of those things that you don't want to get. Yeah.
So if you get skila, you don't get karet.
Correct.
What you say?
There's no double jeopardy.
That's, like,
that's a kapara. Yeah, demitot beit din are considered a kapara. Right. You'd rather get that, ironically. Vishamu, so then it says, it's very interesting, it's just fascinating psukim. Vishamu b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Vishamru, I need an English translation here. It's very hard to translate. They did or they will?
They shall observe
the Shabbat. Okay, Vishamru. Okay. La'asot et ha-shabbat ledorotam brit olam. Does it sound like they shall?
They do.
Vishamru. Sounds like.
You shall, God.
Vishamru.
You should.
Shamor is to command. Vishamru.
But isn't an imperative, a command?
How would you say, and they kept?
No, it's just a past.
Right, Vishamru, and they kept.
Yes.
So why did Art Scroll translate it as "and
it
they and you shall"? No, because if you wanted to say and how would you say "and you must"? It said, you know, Tishmeru or Visham. It's just very interesting. It's on the one hand, it's a commandment, but it's also a description. I want to point that out. It's very interesting. Vasot et haShabbat l'dorotam brit olam. To make the Shabbat forever a brit olam. Anybody notice? It says l'dorotam. Where else did we see it before?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's said. We said in Pasuk Yud Gimel l'dorotechem.
Yeah. For your generation.
Mm-hmm. Beni uvein v'nei Yisrael. Ot hi le'olam. Between me and the children of Israel, it's an ot, an eternal ot. Where do we see ot? Also in Yud Gimel, right? So it's interesting that this pasuk is almost a repetition of the commandment. There's a command, and then there's a sort of a reciprocal, an affirmation of the command. One second, let me show you the pasuk. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz, uvayom hashvi'i shavat. Vayinafash. Okay, just to stop for a second. 6 days, in 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, Shavat, Vayinafash. This is my favorite word to translate. Vayinafash. Art Scroll translates it as?
He rested and was refreshed.
And was refreshed. Ah, this brings me back. Brings me back, because when I was in Shalavim, then the Rosh Yeshiva, Meir Schlesinger, used to love to talk about this pasuk. Because he says, he used to love this Art Scroll translation, says, what does it mean that it was refreshed? He had a Coca-Cola? You know, like, what does it mean that God is vayina, was refreshed? Vayina fash? How do you, nefesh means, what? Asa Hashem, so what does it mean? Vayina fash. That's a tricky word, it's almost impossible to translate. God had enough energy to go on? Right. what do we want? What are we trying to understand?
Rejuvenated, made young again.
Hashem was made young again.
Is it Hashem bayinafash or the people bayinafash?
Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et hashamayim ve'et haaretz uvayom hashvi'i shabbat, and through that shabbat vayinafash nefesh. He was. God was refreshed. Very hard to translate.
He's trying to tell it to us in a way we can understand.
Right? Okay.
Of course Hashem doesn't have hands. He doesn't... Just like...
So the what was God? Nothing happened to God?
No, nothing satisfied. He'd accomplished. Yeah. He accomplished the completion of what he had set out to do.
Okay. Very good.
Satisfied.
Okay, then it's a much broader... it's nothing something physical. It's something...
A feeling. That's on a nefesh level. That's on a...
Correct. I want to ask an overarching question before we come back. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good. Oh, that is good. Hey, Friedman's had a daughter. Okay.
I just passed him.
Yeah? Okay. That's all tough. Okay. Got a lot of SMSs. Okay.
Second ago.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. Yeah. Positive advice.
Not much.
I have a better question. What the heck is this doing here? It's very nice. I it's a very important Shabbat and wonderful. It makes sense in the context of the Mishkan. But this section is the break between the Mishkan and the Chet.
Between the Kodesh and the Chol?
It is the break between the Kodesh and the Chol. And why is it like, why does the Torah use this as the break, as a suggested break? Now, I have a suggested answer, but before we get to the answer that I want to suggest, I want to go back and sort of analyze these psukim again, see if we can come to an understanding of what they are. Study a few midrashim that I like very much, and then hopefully we'll come to a better understanding of Shabbat. In addition, the other question I wanted to ask was, are we okay with the fact that Shabbat is punishable by death? I mean, it's sort of this kind of abstract knowledge that we can kind of accept, but like, it's a challenge for us. I mean, that this is a capital crime. Something that's so simple and so straightforward. It's something, of course, we take Shmirat Shabbat for granted. But ad kidei kach, that we would, I don't know, testify about our fellow man, stone someone to death for doing something that's almost so common that we take it for granted. Does that not seem archaic, in a sense, today, that someone who violates a malacha of Shabbat, someone who, I don't know,
drives
on Shabbat, drives like, you know, is a simple one. You know, maybe take something, you know, cooks an egg. My son is hungry, so I fried him an egg. Oh, put you to death. Right.
If they're driving into that.
No. What did you tell them?
Figured that, out. You know, they say they're driving into that, they're still living. So, what do we say then?
Well, plus, it's a little more challenging because it's like hard to say, well, they don't know any better, or they don't know any different. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like all that. What?
You tried that.
Did you? It didn't go over so well? Good question. They don't understand the importance.
Yeah.
Correct. Or they don't agree with the importance. Or they don't accept the significance.
They don't agree with it because they don't understand it. Right.
Okay. But all that being said, what do you do with these psukim?
Right.
Let's
say that they're gonna
Right. I don't have an answer for you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wish I had a better answer than that, but it's important that we emphasize to our children just how significant Shabbat is. I mean, the Torah is
right.
Suggesting that Shabbat is so important. It's
in the context of without, you know, people who lately don't keep Shabbat, that like if you how do you reconcile this with your children? Like, oh, if you by accidentally turn on the lights on Shabbat,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen?
No, but there's a context of Shogeg. Right. In Shogeg, if somebody does something by accident, or you forget, or it's an onus,
right.
That's clear. We're not talking about that. No, I mean, you know, if you say forget, then that's not really forgetting.
Right.
But if people, you know, they switch on lights, this happens instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're not discussing that. We're talking about someone who willfully violates the Shabbat, who says, I don't want to keep the Shabbat. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's binding upon me. I don't think it's important that I keep the Shabbat. Moreover, what are we trying to achieve in our I would say communal or national Shmirat Shabbat, and why is it so significant to us? So let's go back to the beginning of the section in Yud Bet. V'daber Hashem Moshe Lemor. V'ata daber al b'nei Yisrael Lemor. Ach tzapetotai tishmoru. Ach. Remember we had the ach. It's so interesting. Ach is, we said, Rashi said, even though you're going to build the Mishkan, don't violate Shabbat. What is the logic to say that because you're building the Mishkan, you should violate Shabbat? What's that? Correct. Correct. There's a deeper principle involved in this in this communication. People often think, it's very natural to think, that because I'm involved in Avodat Kodesh, therefore my desire to worship Hashem justifies my making the rules, in a sense. That, you know, well, if my heart is in it, what?
It's all the Shem Shemayim anyway.
Correct. If it's the Shem Shemayim, if I'm trying to fulfill the Torah, if I'm trying to do the mitzvot, then in reality, then, you know, what is the difference does it make? I'm building the Mishkan. So who cares if I'm building the Mishkan on Shabbat or building it on another day? Right? It's true that it's Shabbat. So the Torah says no. Right? That when you have a desire to fulfill, to build the Mishkan, to build the Mikdash, your desire to build the Mikdash must fall into the guidelines that the Torah is trying to command us. Which is, I think, a very, very important lesson, because we see, like, there's a natural fervor when somebody is involved and is passionate and is involved in a project, especially the building of the Mishkan. Look at Rashi's language, it's so interesting. Afalpi shetiyu ridufin, I have the word vizrizin also. Vizrizin bizrizut hamalacha. You're like, you're, raduf means, you're chasing after it, you're a zariz, you're passionate, you have alacrity, you're into it, you're doing it. So you have this, fervor, and this fervor drives you to say, well, it's all for the better, it's all for the good, it's all for the right, so therefore, you know, Shabbat has to fall by the wayside. So is it Torah? No. Your fervor has to be mukbal, right, limited. Has to be within constraints. Because religious fervor, without constraint, leads to the chet ha'ego. And that, I think, is the placement of Shabbat, at least. Yeah, go ahead.
Rashi gives the same message with Korach also, when he talks about Korach saying, why can I make my whole, the Rav talks about it, why can I make my whole talis tchelet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still need a little string in the corner, so I think the Rav explains that, like, your personal expression can only come once, as long as you have the string in the corner, that you have to have the following, you know, staying within the guidelines of Halacha and the Torah, and then within those guidelines, your personal expression is
correct.
Wanted.
And what Rashi's raising, I think what the Torah is raising in this message is, that is the original question that I brought up of Shabbat and the idea of archaicness or archaism. What's the word? Archaicity. Okay. of religious, and the perception of religiosity and spirituality today versus what real religion is all about. Real religion, real shmirah. The word shmirah appears a number of times in Shabbat, is about limitation. It's not about overarching or expansion or fervor as much as it's about what we would call, like, what the word in Hebrew is tzimtzum or self-limitation. As opposed to today, right, where when I want to feel religious, what am I looking for? I'm searching for spirituality. I'm searching for my own expression of my religiosity. I'm searching for a religious feeling. So either when I feel religious, that's when I'm worshiping God. And when I don't feel religious, that's when I'm not worshiping God. Comes along the Torah and says, no, real worship of Hashem comes with when you, instead of doing what you want in order to express yourself, you do what He wants. And you say, instead of doing more, which you think intuitively is worshiping Hashem, you limit yourself. You pull back. And those are very different things, you know, and I think that's a really hard message, especially in today's day and age, where we live in a time of more and more and instant, you know what I'm saying, and personal self-fulfillment and self-expression, and I want to feel religiosity, and I want to feel, like you said it so interestingly, like, Shabbat is something you have to do in order to appreciate, and it's almost, it's counterintuitive, that until somebody does Shabbat, right, he doesn't understand Shabbat. And I have a former member of mine who came a few weeks ago to visit, and he became Shomer Shabbat relatively recently in his life. And he said he used to think to himself, what do you mean? I've got, like, all these things to do. How am I, you know, like, you know, and it is counterintuitive. How is the fact that I'm not playing golf today, or not taking care of the laundry, or, like, I find, you know, doing XYZ restful? Right, but that's the point. It's not what you find restful. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do. Yeah.
I think that answers your question about not observing Shabbat bringing death. Because it's a spiritual death. It's a spiritual disconnect. If you know what I mean. By not keeping Shabbat, you put a certain barrier. Mm-hmm. You kind of sever a certain level of connection.
Uh-huh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting. Ramban alludes to something that I don't understand. Whenever you read the Ramban and he says, the Hamaskil Yavin at the end, yeah, right? He's telling you something about Kabbalah that I don't understand. So I'll just say what he sort of... What? Right, I'm not a Maskil. Right. So I'll just say what he alludes to. He says that the Shabbat, that each person is given two kinds of souls in a sense, and that when he rests on Shabbat, he returns his soul to its original source. So, right. So therefore, but if someone refuses to do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if you're not going to give it back the way it's supposed to be, I'll take it. Right. It's almost like interesting. Think about the illusion of sleep. So let's say a person says, I don't want to sleep. I'm never going to sleep. I don't want to waste time. Right? So at some point, the body says, yeah, you will. Well, taking the sleep will come, whether you want it or not. But there's a natural law in a sense.
Like if you're trying to keep all the tiny malachas and you tear a piece of toilet paper by mistake.
Right.
there's so many ways to break Shabbat that you don't realize it, even if you know.
That's correct, except Chazal added so much because of the significance of Shabbat. So then Chazal added a tremendous siyagim, tremendous isurei de Rabbanan, making it almost impossible for you to violate Shabbat, the Oraita. Right? They knew that. And that's why, and because of the significance of Shabbat, they added padding, in a sense, in order, because, you know, the ripping of the toilet paper is very different than the malacha of mechatech, of exacting measurement and cutting to a specific measurement. So it's very difficult, you should just know, to violate the Isur Malacha of the Oraita, except one specific Malacha. Anybody know which one I'm talking about? Which is easy. No, cooking is hard. Cooking is very hard, because if assuming the food is somewhat cooked, even warming it up is Asur from Durabanan, from the Ashkenazim, but warming it up, it depends how you do it, it's only a Durabanan. Right? To violate a Oraita, anybody know the Oraita that's easiest to violate on Shabbat? What's that? The light switch? Light switch is almost always there. What?
Water on the ground. Can't remember.
Water on the ground? No, that's almost, it's also, all of these are unintended also. It's been intentional malacha. The one that's easy to violate is borer, sorting. Mm-hmm. Careful about borer. It's worth it. Scare them all. Oh. Yeah,
yeah. And
you've got to
learn.
Yeah, it's, borer is one, is what?
We do need to have a help.
Okay. Borer is one of those things that's particularly easy to violate.
I don't want the papers and the things, so just leave it.
What's that?
For my kids, I like, I want the grilled vegetables, but not the paper.
Right, or can I have soup without chicken in it? Or, you know what I'm saying? It's very tricky. It's very tricky.
All goods, isn't that okay?
What?
But it's all good food. Isn't that okay?
No, it's if you don't want, whatever you don't, just as an aside, whatever you don't want is considered the psolet. Not the... You know what I'm saying? So you have ochel and psolet. So if you don't want the chicken, even though it's food and can be eaten, that then becomes a thing you don't want, which you're not allowed to remove from the mixture. Right? Very important to learn. Oh, okay.
Go online.
Right? Download the shiurim. But it's important to learn borer, because that's a very tricky one. Also, I find very tricky when it comes to washing dishes, right, and sorting silverware. That's a huge deal. Very important to be aware of also. But I digress. Okay.
Can I just comment on what Nikki was saying?
Yeah.
With the spiritual death, because according to Rambam, that's what karet is. Karet is like that your whole life that you're spending, the purpose of your life is to build up the connection between your neshama and God. Mm-hmm. And that's why we believe in Olam Haba, that when a person dies, his soul is separated from his body, that his soul is ultimately connected with God to the level to which he strove to connect it during his life. But karet is that Hashem snuffs out that nefesh. It's the opposite of Olam Haba. And that if when you die, that's it. There's no neshama that lives forever after. So that's the punishment of karet. So it fits very neatly into what Nikki was saying, that it's like a spiritual death. You're saying, I don't want a spiritual connection with God. God says, you don't want a spiritual connection. You don't have one forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that otherwise you would...
The permanence of it is kind of frightening.
It is. That's what I'm saying. Shabbat. Like, it's the intention.
You have the ability to do tshuva. That's tshuva. That's the beauty of tshuva.
Doesn't every Jew have a place in the land, though?
Except for there's a whole list.
Yeah, it's a nice song. Except for like they don't tell you, they don't sing the list of like the Elu She'elehem Chelek Lo'olam
Haba. You start with a portion, but there's a way to lose it.
I had to break to you, like the list is a pretty long list also. All the people in Dor HaMidbar, all the people in Dor HaMabul, like, you know what I'm saying? And I asked the Rambam how many people like don't have...
Yes, there are like 25 categories.
What?
Pesach is a big thing.
Even Pesach, yes it is, but it's hard to. Because you have to eat a kezayit of chametz intentionally on Pesach. And I think that Pesach, yes, we go crazy, but a little too crazy. Because, you know, you have to be careful, blah, blah, blah,
in
and whatever.
Sitting.
What?
A kezayit.
Yeah, in one sitting. Correct. It's really hard to be mechayev karet on Pesach. It's easy to violate a law of having chametz in your house on Pesach, but it's hard to be mechayev karet. So, relax. Clean your houses, but not crazy. Okay, listen. Ramban says something. If you look at Ramban on Ach, what's that?
Just go away.
Yes, if it was only so easy. Okay.
Take me with you.
Right. Says Ramban. Ach et shavtor tai tishma. If you have Ramban, he says Av al pi. He quotes Rashi. She had redufim b'zuyisur amalacha al tichas Shabbat. Says Rashi. He says v'lo nit kaven etzli. I don't understand it that way. Ki lefi midrash rabotenu. Be'achin v'rakin yima'et b'shmirat Shabbat. says the ach should minimize Shmirat Shabbat, not minimize, not maximize it. So this is what he says. He says, very interesting. I'm skipping a line or two. He says, Aval amiyut hazeh lemila o lepikuach nefesh uki sheyotzei behen shehen dochin et haShabbat. He says something very interesting. He says, you would think that if the Torah says you have to be Shomer Shabbat, so you have to be Shomer Shabbat all the time, no matter what, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation. He says, don't go crazy. Let's say, God forbid, someone is dying and you have to take an ambulance and take them to the hospital. So you would say, Achad Shavto Tai Kishmeru? No. If, and it's logical, if somebody would have to give up their life, if you would kill somebody because they violated Shabbat, so what are you going to do? Somebody's dying, you know. You're not going to violate Shabbat to save a life because obviously Shabbat is more important than life. So comes along the Ramban and says, no, that's not how it works. If you have a mitzvah milah or pikuach nefesh, someone's life is in danger, that supersedes Shabbat. So you find it's just a very interesting, on the one hand, Rashi tells you, ach, don't go and be rude, don't think that in your religious fervor you could do anything you want to violate Shabbat. And comes along Ramban and says, and don't in your religious fervor think that Shabbat supersedes life. So what I find very interesting is that you have this sort of middle ground. You have Shabbat in the middle, and on the one hand it says, Shabbat supersedes almost everything in religion, but then it doesn't supersede everything. It's not all the all, you know, be all and end all, and thank you, of everything to the point where, you know, you would let a person die for Shabbat. So and what emerges is a picture of, on the one hand, yes, a very serious religious principle that's more serious than your own desires of religious fervor, but not so serious that the Torah says it's that you, there aren't limitations to it as well. And it's very hard to find that sweet spot in religious life where we find that sense of balance. I just find it very interesting because it connotes a certain sense of balance on the one hand. That yes, you have to be Shomer Shabbat and keep Shabbat, but also let's extrapolate it to other areas of life. That the Torah is a guideline and mitzvot, and it gives us a sense of purpose and balance, but not ad kidei kach that we use it to sort of like it kills us, it eats us up. And that,
so you're saying you're against wearing tefillin the whole day?
Against what?
Wearing tefillin the whole day.
Why?
Because you're saying that there's some limits in your religious fervor that they need to be limited.
I don't know if I would see that as an example. Why would that be? I mean, if you could do it, I guess, if it's good for them. I mean, it's, obviously their rabbi think that's an appropriate thing to do, if you know what I'm saying. That doesn't bother me so much. It's unusual to me, but I think that sometimes people, they see the mitzvot as so much so that it almost becomes a yaharug val yavor in a sense. You know, they're not going to violate this under any circumstance, and it becomes the mitzvot becomes somewhat all consuming in a sense. And I think that's the model for Shabbat in this context. What about tefillin wearing all day? If it's good for them, let them wear tefillin all day. What I would say, though, and what I was going to say, it's interesting you led to that. How do you know? How do you know, like, where the lines are? And then what I was going to say is that's where, you know, Teresh Bel Peh comes in. You need a rav. You need a mentor to tell you, you know, until this point, that's good. But at this point, I think, no. You know, it's too much for you. And I think that for each person, like for you, I probably wouldn't tell your husband to wear tefillin all day because he's got to go to work. Like these guys in yeshiva, they're learning all day. Why not? You know what I'm saying? And if he would come and say, I want to wear tefillin all day and I don't want to go to work, maybe that's not the good best choice for him. I don't know, is it the best choice for him? Right. You know what I'm saying? I just found this sort of the Rashi Ramban dichotomy of using the ach. The but, one of them uses it to say, don't go too far, and the other one says, but don't, you have to go, like, don't go far enough, make sure you don't go far enough. And that's the hard part of finding that balance in life, of finding that sweet spot where you're shomer halacha, and it gives you that sense of balance in life, and that sense of purpose, and the rootedness, but on the one hand, you're not taking it too far, you're not pushing yourself beyond your limits. On the other hand, you're not going far enough. Like, it's very hard to find that sweet spot. And that's why you have, you know, that's why we all have to seek out guidance to find that place where it falls appropriately for each of us. Okay, let's read on a little bit. Ushmartem et ha-Shabbat. You shall guard the Shabbat. Amar pasuk. Nidalee. What's that?
Could offer them coffee, they're so close.
Yeah, they are very close. Okay. Kikodeshi, what?
It's so
yeah. Kikodeshi lachem, chale yamot yumat. Okay, we did that. Kokolo seba melacha, benichota, nefeshang yamia. Sheshet yamim ye asem melacha. So 7 days, 6 days, your work should be done. Uvayom hashvi shabbat shabbaton kodeshi lachem. Kumlechet kol asem melacha, beshiyom hashabbat mot yumat. Now let's go to Kizadzain. Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et haShabbat, la'asot et haShabbat l'dorotam brit olam. When I read it not just as a commandment that they shall, but I also read it as a sort of the Torah giving like an affirmation, like a sort of a summation of, like, you know, sort of jumping way into the future and looking back. Sometimes you'll see psukim like that. It says, and this was a covenant to them forever. That and that Hashem said, This is the description of what B'nai Israel is. If you look at, one second, I'm looking for a certain shot. Here we are. Okay? The Ibn Ezra says the following. When he says Oti, it says, Shelo yivada ha-Yisraeli ki'im b'shemirat ha-Shabbat. How do we judge whether someone's firm or not? How do we judge whether someone is religious?
He doesn't say religious, he says Jewish.
But he says Yisraeli. Right, in his context. But
living in the golden age of Spain.
Right.
Interesting.
A kosher aid has to keep Shabbat.
What's that?
A kosher aid has to keep Shabbat.
It's an inherent evaluation that we accept that someone who shomer Shabbat is someone who shomer mitzvot. Right? Like, well, what if you speak Lashon Hara? You're not shomer mitzvot? Like, well, everybody does that. You know what I mean? Or I do this, or I do that. There's a lot of things that we do. But if you want to be Shomer Mitzvot, you have to be Shomer Shabbat. Right? That's the oath. That's the sign. What?
No, it's interesting. I'm noticing language parallels between this and the Keshet. There's a lot of the Beinu, Beinchem, about the oath, that it's a Brit Olam, that it's L'dorot. Like, that all this language is going, and I'm trying to, like, work through in my brain.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, then the next pasuk really grabs me. I find it very, very, very powerful. Beni uvein b'nei Yisrael othi le'olam. All of a sudden, we go from this sort of, you know, broad stroke description. It becomes very intimate. It's first person. Beni uvein b'nei Yisrael othi le'olam. It's an eternal ot. What's an ot? A sign. But one gets the sense like that Hashem sort of like took us into this private room, right? And He gave us this beautiful ot. Like it's just us. And Chazal teaches us that it's b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael, so much so that a nochri is asur b'shmirat Shabbat. And a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbat. And, you know, and what's the punishment for a nochri who is shomer Shabbat? What? Karei? Mita? I don't know. I think something serious. Like something, I don't remember exactly. I don't want to say, you know, specifically.
Is it specifically. You buy a steak or on purpose? Like a
non-Jews. What's that? Never heard the joke? You never heard that joke? No. This guy's learning Kola with his chavrusa for years and years and years. And he invites him to his son's bar mitzvah. He says, I want to give you an honor. I want you to have an aliyah. He says, you're not going to believe this, but I got to be honest with you. He says, I'm not Jewish. He says, what do you mean you're not Jewish? We've been learning for years. He says, yeah, but I just enjoy the interaction. I enjoy the discussion. I enjoy the learning. He says, you've been at my Shabbos table. We've been friends. You've been a member of the community. He says, yeah, so I just enjoy, you know, I enjoy the ritual. I think it's very meaningful. He says, we've been learning for years. You know, he says, you know that a non-Jew who keeps the Shabbos is Chayav Misa. He says, yeah, I don't hold to the Erev. Didn't tell it well, but it was, okay. All right, whatever. All right. Anyway. So it's been just I find it very like veini ubein b'nei Yisrael oti le'olam. Like all of a sudden Hashem like the psukim sort of just they switch, and Hashem says like it's almost this like private moment between Hashem and b'nei Yisrael. That this is the specialness, a specialness between Hashem and the Jewish people. That's an eternal bond. Right? What does it mean, eternal? L'dorotam, eternal. Meaning? Forever. That, it can't be broken. Forever can't be broken means, no matter what you do, no matter how bad things get, no matter how much you disappoint me, if you have this bond, right, we'll be together forever. What, say, could the Jewish people theoretically do to tick off HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Here we are, we're at the, like, Shabbat, like, Mamad Har Sinai is this big wedding, right? It's the chuppah of the Jewish people. They're at the Har Sinai, right? And what's the talit in the chuppah? Right? The ananim, the kavod, and whatever. It's like this big wedding. Right? They go into the yichud room, and Hashem gives the Bnei Yisrael, right, the piece of jewelry, right, that we're going to wear forever. Right? What's the piece of jewelry that He gives us? The Shabbat. And they go out of the yichud room. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, brings Moshe in to speak for a few minutes. And what does the kala do, right, while we're in the yichud room? She goes and starts flirting with some other guy. Except, so then Hashem gets really mad. Now there becomes a very interesting point in Chet HaEgel. I'll just get very briefly, I mean, just to one interesting point. They build the Egel, it's terrible, 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 okay. Let's turn to Perek Lamed Bet, okay, Pasuk Tet. This is the saving point of Bnei Yisrael, because right? It could all fall apart. Hashem says, so Yomar Hashem el Moshe. Everybody see where I am? Lamed Bet? Ra'iti et ha'am hazeh. Right? I see in this am. Okay? What did Hashem not say? Ha'am sheli. B'nei Yisrael. It's almost like, what do you call your children when they get you so mad that you can't see straight? Right. You get in here right now, young man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't even say your name.
Say,
you know?
Your spouse.
What?
Your son. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Say your spouse. Your son is.
Do you say that? I don't know what I'm saying.
Suddenly there.
Right, suddenly there. Because I never anything to do with it. Okay. That's what Hashem said. Ha'iti et ha'am hazeh. This nation. What's that? What happened to Oti bein bnei Yisrael beiniu bein bnei Yisrael? Where's the like beauty and the intimacy? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's gone. Okay, v'hinei am kishe orifu. You can't. They're so stubborn. What do you? And by the way, you should just know that's what Hashem said to Moshe. Okay, it's not my people. It's your son, your people. Right? Moshe says, I'll just prove it to you. To turn back to pasuk Zayin, lech reid. Kishichet Amcha. Whose nation is it?
Moshe.
Your nation. And Moshe's like, what? My nation? What happened there? Okay. V'atah, back to Pasuk Yod. They really are close. V'atah hanichali. Now, leave me alone. V'yichar api bahem. So that my anger burns in them. Va'achalem, and I will destroy them. Ve'e'ese otcha legoy gadol. So Moshe, leave me alone. And in the few minutes in which you leave me alone, I will then let my anger come to a boiling point, so that I can then destroy them and start over. What is Moshe saying? What is Hashem saying to Moshe? Look at Rashi for a minute. Hanichali. Yud. Adayin lo shamanu shitpalel Moshe alehem, v'hu omer. Moshe hasn't said anything yet, and he says, God says, Hanichali. Alakan patach lo petach. God opened a little opening. V'hodiyo shehadavar talui bo. She'imit paleal aleihem lo yikalem. In a very real way, God is saying to Moshe, He's not saying, leave me alone. What He's really saying is, pray for them. Pray now. What was it that saved the Bnei Yisrael, that gave Hashem the Koach, or the impetus, or the force to say, Moshe, pray for them.
Was it Shabbat?
I think it was Shabbat. There's an Ot Hi La'olam L'dorotam. That Hashem gave us this Mishmeret, this beautiful Mishmeret, this beautiful treasure, this guard. Our job is to be the nation that lives the ideal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And no matter what we do, no matter how bad we get, if we still maintain this oath, if we adhere to this idea, this notion, that the Shabbat is the testimony, the sign that Hashem created the world, you could even worship idolatry, and Hashem will still want us to be His people. Well, there's a famous saying of Achad Ha'am. People think Chazal said it, but it's not Chazal. Achad Ha'am said it. You know what I'm talking about? Yoter mizeh shebnei Yisrael shamu et Shabbat, Shabbat shamar al bnei Yisrael. I think that this is almost a textual proof for it. The fact that Shabbat is the introduction to Chet Ha'egel answers a very interesting, a very powerful question. Why didn't Hashem destroy us? He should have, you know. You could imagine at the chuppah, like she's at the, literally, like at the wedding reception, cheating with another guy. I mean, we've all heard bad stories about that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Literally at the wedding reception? Okay, forget it. Made a mistake. It was a nice idea. Not going to do it. Move on. You know, and Moshe's arguments, when you read through Chedah Egel, okay, they're good arguments. What are the Goyim going to say? It's going to be a Chilash. You know what I'm saying? Very nice. But what really did it is that there's this Ot. There's this connection. And Bnei Yisrael already kept the Shabbat. The Shabbat was already the covenant even before Matan Torah. So they're already connected. That no matter what they do, no matter what we do, we still have that eternal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that it's something for us that we sort of almost take it for granted in a sense. Yeah, you have something to add?
Yeah, because back here before in Parak Lamed Aleph, when we said that Tzad the Rabbanei Yisrael and Ma'achat Shabtat HaTishmo Ki Oti B'Niyu B'Nichem Zoratichem L'Dat Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. So Rashi says L'Dat Ha'omot Ba Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, that the other nation should know that I am Hashem who is Mekadishchem. So Moshe's argument in Chet Ha'egel
is,
goes right into that saying that what are the Umot going to say? That Shabbos, what about Shabbos? Oh. Shabbos is there also as a sign for the Umot that this is your nation.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then the question becomes,
like, you could probably go through the arguments and show how he's arguing really Shabbos.
Interesting. Okay. Then the question becomes, what do we need to do as a nation? How do we, you know, get to the point? I mean, thank God we live in a time where this question becomes relevant again. What does it mean to have a nation that's Shomer Shabbat? You know, and why is that significant and important? You know, it's a big debate nowadays. Like, why do we impose this notion of Shemirat Shabbat on other people? You know, why is it important that El Al doesn't fly on Shabbat? Why is it important that the government shuts down on Shabbat? It's important because, what does it say about Am Yisrael? What does it say about us in general? Even if not every Jew, halabai, keeps Shabbat, what does it say about us as a people, as an Am, that we believe in this idea of Shabbat, that we adhere to it, and that hopefully we're coming to the point where we're moving forward in Shabbat instead of moving backwards, in a sense. And I think that this idea, like sometimes we take Shabbat for granted, in a sense. You know, it's very important that we keep Shabbat, but in the sense that it becomes an oath that we really understand. Like, you know, you say to your children, we're talking about like communicating. Negative is one thing, but do we focus on the positive, on this aspect of we're doing this because that this is the way that we show through our lives that we believe that Hashem created the world. You know, I often think about that. Like there's a halakha that when we say kiddush, people are supposed to not only hear the word brachot and say amen, you're supposed to listen to what the kiddush is and understand it. Like when whoever it is says kiddush on Friday night, like the people listening are supposed to be listening. Because the kiddush is in the notion that we're mekadesh ourselves through the fact that we're sanctifying the day of Shabbat. You know, remember, like remember, like, a while back, I was, like, trying to get the kids to, like, stand and listen, you know, and pay attention. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge, like, to focus on...
Now we'll understand it more.
Right. But to really, to focus on that idea, I think, is a critical critical idea that, you know... And I think that that's also something that we tend to focus on, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's so restrictive. It's so negative. Yes and no. Of course, there are so many restrictions. But at the same time, that to see the power of the Shabbat and the identity that comes through it and the Shmira that comes through it, that brings to the Vayinafash. And it can save us from, even from destruction, even from Chet HaEgel, no matter what else you do, that ode is still there. All right, I guess we'll cut it off here. We'll start.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, please.
Very interesting, like how you compared it to the marriage. The limitations we have in marriage, mikvah, and not being with anyone else, things like that, make the beautiful marriage, 100%. Make the marriage beautiful. So I think maybe the same thing with Shabbat. All these limitations we have make the Shabbat beautiful.
I think I didn't emphasize the point enough, and I'm glad you brought it out. This notion of spirituality and of trying to reach out and trying to accomplish and achieve, right? Judaism is, if you think about how many times it says in these psukim, this idea of shmira, of guarding, right? That true kedusha in Judaism comes always from withdrawal and not from expansion. Comes from finding within, from containment. Correct. That kedusha in marriage, in life, in kashrut, in what we eat, in every area of life, right? There's the aseh and the lo taseh. And that as opposed to today, where everything has to come through the assay of what did I do, what did I achieve, what did I accomplish, right?
It makes sense as well.
Correct. In Judaism, right, the beauty of Yahadut comes from, right, Zachor Yom HaShabbat and Shamor Yom HaShabbat, both of those coming together. And that we often find, it's very easy to find the beauty in Kiddush and you know, the Zmirot, and, you know what I'm saying, and all the positive, and Hadlakat HaNeirot. But we don't see the beauty of the Shabbat in, like, oh, I've got to worry about, you know, mixing my silverware or how to take the soup out in the proper way. You know, we see that as a burden as opposed to an opportunity to withdraw within ourselves. And it is important to note that the source for the Malachot of Shabbat, what is the Ikar, the source of the 39 Malachot? Right? The source is the Mishkan. You know, in the context of the Mishkan, of building the Mishkan, of building the Beit HaMikdash, of building the presence of Hashem, right? That's the source of the Malachot, of what's forbidden, of what we don't do in Shabbat. And if you want to build a real Mishkan, yes, you have to build the Mishkan by doing the Malachot, but also you build the Mishkan by not doing it as well. And it's a very powerful message. It's very challenging to see beauty and connection to Hashem in the negative, in the withdrawal. But as we all know, you know, especially people who have come from a life where they haven't withdrawn and now they've seen it, and sometimes for, I guess, us FFBs, is that a term? Is that ever?
Yes,
FFBs. We lack that because you always had it. Whereas, you know, whereas people who found that beauty appreciate it, I think, sometimes more. But what are you going to do? We have to try to do our best. Okay, thanks for bringing it up. Appreciate it.